And we're live, JP. Auto Press episode 22. 22.
22. Who's that, Emmett Smith?
Emmett Smith.
Man. Come along. Another one where I'm like 2,200 miles away from you.
Yeah, this is lonely in here in the studio.
I don't have it much more populated. I'm sitting here, my dog, she could be dead. I'm not quite sure. She hasn't moved in about an hour. She's kind of laying there on the couch. So don't act like I'm super popular up here with a bunch of fans ready for the Auto Press.
You're not like the Today Show and have people lined up around with signs?
No.
Okay. Well, I don't either.
Live from New York.
Well, since you're in New York, tell us, you know, last week when we left, you getting ready to caddy, you'd been out there a couple of days, you'd hung out with John Daly, obviously eating hot dogs with Ken Duke, who missed the cut, but...
He had a bad final day.
He did.
I saw him after that final round.
Hold on, so he made the cut?
Oh, no, he didn't.
Okay.
After his second round, some of the players would come into the caddy lounge because we had the same food they had upstairs, and it was just convenient to eat there because the putting green was right outside the window. And Ken Duke's going through the line, and you know I'm sitting with a couple of the other caddies and a couple of them were local guys who knew me, and I wanted to be cool. So I'm going to obviously talk to a guy that's playing, you know, like, hey Ken, how'd you do? I shot 81 today, JP, and I'm like, oh, nowhere to really go from there. Conversation didn't last long.
Well, he answered the rule. That's what Ryan Cabbage, our assistant coach, used to say when you say, what'd you shoot? All you say is the number. You don't say, I shot 75, but I did this and this, and I should have done this. You just say, what'd you shoot?
Yeah, 81. That's true.
I shot 81.
That's true.
What's that?
When we talked last week, a lot had happened, and I mean, I was pretty fresh into the caddying week.
So tell us about it.
Man, it was a blast being inside the ropes. I don't know if James was ready for how many people were going to come out and be hollering something at us. I mean, the Rochester golf community is pretty small, and it seemed like every hole somebody was, let's go JP, let's go James. I mean, one of my kids, Josh, who's from up here, was on the second hole today. James made a birdie, and Josh just kind of, let's go, James, let's go. I mean, it was like that the whole way around, getting war eagles from some of my friends because we had an Auburn head cover. James went to Auburn.
I'm sorry, James is Auburn, yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of funny from that aspect. I mean, from the start, some of the news people that I knew, I think we posted the interview on the podcast last week, and some people had seen that. I don't know if we did that before our podcast last week.
Yeah, it was up.
It was up. Well, another news station had seen it and did another story, and I had to get them to delete a tweet that they sent out.
What happened?
Well, they were just kind of asking me some more off the cuff questions, like what my favorite things were about the week or what was nice, what was different than caddying.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything bad. But they took the words and put it into a tweet where it wasn't going to look good. So, like, they were like, how is caddying here different than when you caddied growing up? And I mentioned, yeah, you know, we get to park and get a shuttle in. It's closer parking. We get this private lounge with food. I was like, there's free keg beer. I haven't had any yet. And he sent out a tweet, JP's favorite things of caddying in the senior PGA, free keg beer, private lounge, close parking. And I'm like... I'm like, that's not what I said. So, and it was my buddy. Actually, I did mention him last week, Dan. And I felt terrible because I had to text him. I'm like, Dan, I can't have that out there, buddy. Like, I love the story you did. You did a great job with the video and everything, but that was just a lot. But
you're a public figure.
It was fun. Wednesday, we played practice rounds with guys that have won a bunch of PGA Tour events. Bob Gilder, he's won 6 times on tour. Dan Forsman, he won 5 times on tour, I think. Tom Byram, who's won quite a few times on the Champions Tour, and brother is Kurt Byram.
The announcer.
Yeah. Played with Gary Hallberg, who I think he won the NCAA championship individually at one point.
He was a four-time first-team All-American.
Gary Hallberg was.
Yes. Played at Wake Forest.
Yeah, so we were paired with him in a practice round. But it was kind of cool, like, being around those guys a little bit. You know, the first couple of days we just played not that they're not good, but I don't want to be inside the ropes to play with just another head pro from another club. You know what I mean? I feel like you could do that whenever you wanted. But Wednesday was pretty cool playing with all those guys. Course was hard. I don't know if you saw the scores. I mean, 3 under, I think, ended up winning it. Ken Tanigawa.
But, yeah, I mean, the cut was 9 over.
Yeah, the cut was 9 over. We talk a lot about the getting a draw, you know, like how much does that affect you over the course of a year? That was a huge, huge impact this week. I mean, the morning guys on Thursday, they played inside of a dome. There was no wind. Flags weren't moving. It was mildly warm, nothing. And then I think you were texting me, like, is there a delay? We were about to tee off. Had the first time in the afternoon Thursday, first time out Friday. So at like 11:15, the horn blows. We went back out for a brief warm-up at 1, and then it blows again. We didn't get to go back out till like 2 to start our round. And by then, the winds were like 40. I mean, maybe not that much, but they were gusting. To the point to where a couple of people were asking the rules officials, like, hey, these greens are a little too quick for these conditions, don't you think? And they were just on the edge of that.
Really?
We were paired with Tom Gillis, who I know we had mentioned was a breaker of the Matt Kuchar thing.
Yeah, what do you have to say? I know you chatted him up.
So I was trying to get the feel early. You know, I'm out there. I'm the only guy that's kind of an outsider there. James has played on tour for 10 years, and both the caddies, you could tell that they had this little attitude. I don't know why these guys get this attitude.
They didn't like you.
It's not that they didn't like me. You could just tell that they were like, oh, yeah, he's probably just some local guy, which I am, but I know what I'm doing out there. And
they just did, they didn't respect you.
Didn't respect me. That's a good way to put it. There were times, though, where, like, they were way behind, and I'd clean off their guy's golf ball because I was off at the green, and the guy was ready to putt. Just kind of silly, but I try to make small talk with them. You'd think if you're out there, what else is there to do besides small talk, you know?
Yeah.
Like I asked one of the guys where he was from, and he just gave me a one-word answer and no question back. So I was like, all right, there we go. And I got to talking to Tom Gillis a little bit because he had played with Mahanik in a couple scrambles. So I, like, 4 holes in, I brought that up. And he was cool talking about that. But I was kind of – there wasn't a good time for a little while to bring up the Matt Kuchar stuff until later in the round. In the first round, I brought it up, actually. So we were sitting on a cooler waiting on a par 3. There were, like, 2 groups backed up because they had this terrible pin location. And firm green, whatever. But I was just like, yeah, Tom, you're a pretty good follow on Twitter. And he's like, oh, you follow me? Oh, that's good to hear. Like, kind of like being coy about it, you know? And I was like, yeah, we enjoy it. I was like, pretty funny you broke that info about the Kuchar. Where are you getting that info? He's like, Camilo Villegas, his brother, caddies with them. I was like, oh, man. He goes, yeah, we battled for a while trying to figure out how to release it. We gave him a bunch of chances. I emailed his agent. I emailed him. Talked to him in person. I was like, hey, you can make this right. Otherwise, we've got to blast you on this. And he never wanted to make it right. So.
Really? So, hold on. So, Camilo Villegas' brother caddies down at that resort?
Yes.
Okay. He played at Florida. Manuel.
No, he must have another one. It might have been a guy named David. Or no, maybe the caddy was David. I don't remember.
But he caddies. Camilo Villegas' brother caddies at the resort. One of his brothers.
Either he caddies at the resort or he knew the caddy.
I got you.
So we got to talk about this. And I don't know Tom Gillis's career background or anything. I don't know what gives him the right to be playing sheriff of the PGA Tour. But he was like, yeah, we gave him a chance here. And then I was like, yeah, he also kind of went after Ben Crane once. And we talked about that for a little bit. But he was laughing. He's like, yeah, I don't know what your deal is here with James, but I guarantee if he wins the thing, he's giving you more than $5,000. Right. I'd give – he's like – he kind of went into that for a while. He's like, yeah, the 2 days after the comment he made, the that's more than he makes in a year, the $5,000, there was a wire transfer going along. So I was like, man, good for you. But at the same point, I kind of wanted to be like, who makes you Captain Dick of the PGA Tour, you know?
I don't know. Right? I mean, he's standing up for a guy that he felt something was done wrong by paying the guy $5,000. And I don't know how many other people knew that, but he tried to, he at least got Kuchar to make it right. And I think it's funny that he said he emailed his agent and Kuchar.
And his agent is Steinberg.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, obviously they didn't think people would side with the caddy.
But he was a nice guy. You can tell he's pretty opinionated. I mean, he had comments about the course setup, the varying trees that were in the way. Jeff Sluman's from up here. He's like, yeah, I played 9 holes with Jeff on Tuesday, and I was talking about these trees. Why do they have these trees here? And it's just like, man.
Did he make the cut?
Yeah, so that's a good story. We can get into that since we're on the Tom Gillis subject. So he's out there and he's playing, and I think he shot 75 the first day maybe, which wasn't terrible. I'll bet you, I haven't looked at it all, but I'll bet you only 15 guys made it the cut from the afternoon morning wave. I mean, yeah. I'd be surprised if it was higher than that. So like the cut line, if you take it over the first day, the cut was at +4. You typically double that, I would think.
Yeah.
Thinking everybody's going to do the same. So he's out there. Eight. I can't remember if he made the putt on 13. He did something on 13 or 14 to where he got to 6 or 7 over. And 14, he just started getting real negative. Like, oh, this was a fun time being here, you know, making these weird comments to his caddy. Like, hopefully you had fun, George. You have fun walking around Rochester. And then he hadn't had his caddy read a putt all week. He gets to 15. And he's like, George, what do you think here? You think it breaks right? Let's bring you in for at least one here. And he 3-whacks it. So he goes to plus. I could be wrong on the numbers here, but he's +8 walking down 18 either way. And he's talking the whole way up about, man, this is a hard golf course. But the cut's not going to be this high. And you can tell he's pretty obsessed about the cut line. And he hits a pretty good shot in there and ends up three-putting again, though. Pretty tough lip out. So he's at 9 over. Gibby Gilbert had shot 69, 76, I think. So he's at 5 over. Maybe he shot 77. And James had shot 71 to get back to 10. And we're walking off the green. Not get back to them, but go to 10.
Finish 10, yeah.
So we're walking off the green, and Gillis is talking to Gibby Gilbert, and he's like, yeah, good luck this weekend. Hopefully you can get him. The weather should cooperate a little better, whatever. And James is like, Tom, I wouldn't go anywhere, bud. You're probably looking at the cut. And Tom Gillis kind of laughed, and I'm like, yeah, the cut's not going to get above 6. I mean, whatever. But the course was playing hard. And I mean, James had like the second low round of the morning at 71. So I'm in there, and James left. He's like, listen, I'm going to get on the road, but I'm not going to drive that fast. Stay in touch if the cut looks like it's going. And I was going to hang around all day anyway. I had some friends that were going out to watch. So I'm texting James and calling him every couple hours. It's like, hey, it's at 7, it's at 8, whatever. Like, you know, there's a chance. And I had been in the caddy lounge with Gillis's caddy, and Gillis's caddy's like, hey. Or he's talking to another guy. Yeah, Tom was booking his flight out on 14, booking his flight home. That cut's not moving. And I'm not scared to speak my mind a little bit, but I was like, hey, man, I'd tell him to stick around. That cut could get to 9. It was at 10 in 2008. He's like, it's not getting to 9. I go, it's already moved 3 shots since yesterday, and the afternoon just started. He's like, listen, buddy. And he gives me this real smug look, and he goes, you don't know what the cuts are like out here. You don't know what this stuff's like. And I kind of chuckled for a second. I'm like, neither do you. You don't have cuts. You play 3-round no cut events. Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, Gillis flew home, got a flight. He lands late Friday night. I don't know what time it was, but it was after they finished play, so it must have been close to, I got to think, 7:30, 8 o'clock, and he's got text message on his phone at the tee time for Saturday. And he couldn't make a way home because the cut ended up being at +9.
So he left.
So he withdrew.
Yeah, there he is, WD.
Mm-hmm.
So he left, got home, found out he made the cut and couldn't get back.
I don't know if he couldn't. There was an article in the Detroit Free Press that Matt Mahanick sent me. And Matt Mahanick's my former coach at Huntington, who's played with him or whatever. And he sent me this article, and Tom was like, yeah, I'm kind of embarrassed by it all. But I'm just going to take Memorial Day weekend to spend with my family. But
well,
a guy like that doesn't need to be taking a weekend off. He needs to make a few bucks, you know?
If you make the cut, you should probably be there.
Yeah. He's not one of the mainstays out there.
That's painful.
It was kind of funny. I mean, he's a pretty good player. Those guys are pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he hung around tour for a long time.
So, yeah.
I mean, he's got to be able to play a pretty decent amount, I would think.
It just surprised me how quickly people were giving up on the cut. I mean, even when I was just kind of walking around, like I'm sitting there and I'm seeing it move like every 25 minutes. And I'm like, man, it might get to 10. And there was a chance. I mean, we're like 9 people away. He was the first guy listed to miss the cut was James.
Yep, I see that.
And he was fighting, bad putting the first day. The second day he played pretty solid round. He had one bad break where he had a shot in the sixth hole, and the sixth hole is almost kind of an island green par 3, and it landed on the front right. The pin was in the back and almost went in. I wouldn't be surprised if it lipped out. And then it just didn't stop, and then it ends up rolling off the green, and they had those shaved off green and rolls into the creek.
Oh.
So he goes from 1 to made it great up and down for 4, just like that.
So,
but just too many putts. I mean, yeah, I think he had like 37 putts the first day. You can't do that.
No. Speaking of caddying, are you caddying for Brendan in the U.S. Open?
Yes, I sent out a tweet yesterday to Brendan, just saying that, you know, if you have a bad day playing golf, it's always nice to remember that Brendan Todd made the U.S. Open. You know, like, that brings me back. Hey, this is great. And he goes, what did he say? I got to pull this up.
Says, I need you there.
I need you there. So, and I don't know what that...
You responded back with asking me to caddy, ? But it doesn't look like you got any response.
He didn't respond to me. No. doesn't look like I'm getting that nod. Well, although I should. I did a pretty good job for James. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's not... These guys make it out to be a lot more complicated than it is. These books are pretty good. You're going to get the yardage to the front, and then you just add. Like, I don't know. It's a very menial job that gets a lot more praise than it needs to, I think. As long as you have a positive attitude out there and you can pump the guy up, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, I've seen you in action.
Yeah. So, whatever. Maybe one day. Was, but it was fun. It was fun walking around Oak Hill, and I went for the weekend, and I could go wherever I wanted with my pass, and I kept eating the breakfast and the lunch. Just why not?
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't.
Kept parking in the parking lot.
I did. Yeah. I did have a listener question that they wanted to ask you. Did you fraternize or drink a bunch of beers with other caddies?
One of the days I had a couple, not a bunch, but we went to the Pittsford pub, which had John Daly and a bunch of other guys had shown up, and I'd gotten to know him. he's a caddy that I'd met from when he had been paired with Dom before. A guy named New Guy. I think he Patton knows him pretty well.
New Guy.
Yeah, we had texted Patton, and Patton said, love New Guy. Dom knows who New Guy is. So apparently New Guy's a pretty good legend out there. Probably get him on the pod, but hung out with him a little bit. He was cool. A lot of the other ones, they're pretty tight community. This guy, just because he remembered me, he was okay welcoming me in.
So the answer to that question would be yes.
Yeah, but not to a inappropriate level. I was very focused during the week. I mean, it's not easy to walk around that golf course, especially when it was wet. And we had a 7 a.m. tee time on Friday. I had to be at the golf course. I was there before the volunteers won.
Felt like you were back at the U.S. four ball.
Yeah. Except I didn't have anybody waking me up.
You had to wake up yourself?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. But that was my week. I mean, I don't know, just felt natural. I want to get inside the ropes again. It was awesome. Hopefully I'll get a chance.
No, everybody's pulling for you.
Yeah. You're about to transition, though, I think, to the U.S. four ball.
Well, I was just going to say, you caddying there early, or talking about getting up early, and we had a couple of our listeners, Tyler McKeever and Stephen Groover, who had a good showing, ended up shooting 5 under the second round to get into a playoff for the match play. And according to Tyler, Stephen Groover had a tap-in birdie on the second playoff hole, and they made it a match play and ended up losing the first round match to a birdie on the last hole to one of three teams that tied for the medalist honors. And then I just looked, and that team that beat them is now into the semifinal. So it's good showing by a couple fellow Auburn Tigers.
The team that beat them in the playoffs is in the semis?
The team that beat them in the first round match.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, is in the semifinals now. So
how about the guys that you guys played last year?
The guys that ended up beating us in 22 holes got beat in the first round. And obviously, they're a strong team, though. Chip Brook and Mark Dull, they'd made it the semifinals the year before, the finals last year, and then they got beat in the first round this year. But that's just match play. So
yeah,
it can swing real quick.
Those guys obviously can play pretty good. I mean, you don't make it to match play in that thing every year by mistake.
Yeah.
I saw the defending champion couldn't play.
Yeah, he's... excuse me.
He's playing match play tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, we can get into the college golf, which is...
Go straight to that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, do we really want to talk about Kevin Na winning?
The only thing I like about it was he gave his car away.
I thought that was pretty sweet. That guy's been with him a while. There have been some pretty good videos between him and his caddy, you know, having some discussions.
I'm going to hit on the green. Yeah.
What are you going to do with that? I'm going to hit on the green, Kenny. I don't like it. You don't like it? Okay, well, I'm going to hit on the green. And it's like John Rahm at the Players. Okay, well, I'm going to hit it.
So I played with Dom today. Dom just flew up to town. He's got his qualifier Monday for the U.S. Open. And we were talking about that. He's like, yeah, that car. Did you see that car that Kevin Na won? Yeah, it's pretty cool. He gave it to his caddy. He goes, you bet your ass I'm keeping those keys. Medley's not getting that car. And then he was talking about that Kevin Na clip. He was like, yeah, that video came out like last week. So we were walking by and Kevin was down in the bunker and Kenny was standing there in the bag and we just kept going, you're going to hit on the green. You're going to hit on the green.
Did you see Kevin Na, his dub smash that I tweeted out with the song, make him say, na 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 na. Did you see that?
I don't think so.
It's Kevin Na in the locker room. Basically,
is he
like
really doing it?
Lip singing that song. No, dub smash is something that you can pick pretty much any song and it just looks like your lip singing.
Oh.
It's hilarious. I mean, just for somebody like him that you...
But on the AutoPress Twitter, you did it?
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
But you may get a better feel from this from Dom, but I feel like the Kevin Na win was somewhat popular on tour.
I think they like him.
I mean, I just got that feeling that a lot of people... He's a different guy, but a lot of people seem to like him, which
I think he wears his heart on his sleeve, and he's not just kind of a robot.
I feel like that's changed since, was it the Players Championship a few years ago when he couldn't pull the trigger and was, it seemed like he had a lot of demons and people were mad at him for playing slow.
Well, now he makes fun of himself about it all.
Yeah. I remember the year Brendan played in the Masters, him and Kevin Na getting into an argument going down the 10th hole because they got put on the clock. Yeah, and Brendan told Kevin that it wasn't fair because he was causing them to get on the clock, basically.
Oh, man.
And Kevin didn't like that.
So they don't like each other.
I don't know. This was 2014. Who knows?
Well, they can take it up at Pebble Beach in a couple weeks.
That's right.
Hopefully they move past it.
I do want to touch on real quick while we're on the Colonial. Jordan Spieth. What? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just get the feeling that people are pulling for him to not do well. And, like, they just want to attack him. He did not play good Sunday. He had like his three best putting rounds in a row Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He putted great at Bethpage. And it's like people just look for reasons to doubt him. I don't get it.
He just set the bar so high that people expect him to be in the mix every week. The people that are doubting him and getting mad, they're not golfers. They don't understand how hard it is to win out there. I mean, They just expect him to be in the mix every week, like he was for a year and a half span where everything went his way, you know?
And then you just hear people bringing up stat, well, he's not going to play well. His shots gained off the tee is terrible. And it's like putting is part of the game.
And yeah.
If he does it well, he's going to contend. And if he doesn't,
why do we hate people for making putts?
Yeah, no, I agree. Putting is part of the game. I don't care how many putts you make.
Is there anything worse than when somebody plays golf and they're like, they wouldn't have played this well if they didn't make 8-12 footers? So, well,
oh, they made everything.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do.
They hit every fairway. Okay, well, they made every putt. It's the same thing. He made everything. Well, it's part of the game. The game is to get it in the hole, not see who can hit it the best.
But I think he just set his standards too high too quickly. And I think he gets frustrated. I think he's starting to pull back a little bit, to be honest.
I would if I were him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember what he finished at the Masters this year. It wasn't anything great. But then he finished third at the PGA. And then he's contending at Colonial. And people just can't wait to watch him not play well, I feel like. I don't get it.
Anybody in particular?
No, it just seems like a lot of rumblings that people just, that's just the general, I would say, I guess, more on Twitter.
But yeah.
Like, people just can't wait to pile on him. Ha, we knew he couldn't keep putting like that.
Yeah, they do say that all, like, Brandel's like, yeah, it just can't last that long.
Can't do it. I'm like, he putted like that for a year and a half. I mean, he made everything. I don't know.
He's gonna figure it out. Once he starts playing his game again, I wouldn't be too concerned. He's showing he's still got it. He's had a lot of life changes.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I pull for him, and I hope he does well.
I'll trade bank accounts with him.
Yeah, I don't think he'll trade with you.
No. We don't need to get into that.
Well, let's talk about what's happened earlier tonight. I mean,
man,
the college
right before
golf.
We got on the call.
Holy cow. So just to recap, Oklahoma State win has, I don't know how many team wins they had. It doesn't matter at this point. About almost all their tournaments, they won the stroke play by 31 shots, and they end up losing in the semifinals of the match play to Texas, who they beat. I think they beat Texas by 38 shots in the stroke play, or 4 days of stroke play.
I think they played them like 7 times this year and didn't lose to them.
Oh, man. And then lost in match play on, which I didn't even know. It was their Oklahoma State's, I guess their fourth best player, Zach Bochy, who won the Canadian AM back to back. And
when I saw that tweet, I had to look up who it was, because they put those people in randomly. You know, like he was playing in the anchor spot.
Yeah, well, I was just going on Hovland, Matthew Wolf, Austin Eckroat. Okay, this kid's probably their fourth best player if he's won the Canadian AM twice. But
Canadian AM's gotten pretty big the last few years too. It's not like back in the day it was an afterthought event.
But he misses that kid from Texas just on that 18th hole stripes a 5-iron in there to, what, 10, 12 feet? And the Oklahoma State, felt like the Oklahoma State kid played a little safe there and, you know, hit it 20, 25 feet, lags it down there. The Texas kid rolls it in there to even the match. And then, oh, that was just a painful miss for the Oklahoma State kid on the 19th hole. Misses a 3.5, 4-footer, horseshoes for par.
Horseshoe. Oh. I mean, it wasn't that putt that got him in trouble, though. I mean, how do you leave a 25-footer 5 feet short like that?
Yeah.
I don't think he could see. They were talking about it on the Golf Channel. It was pretty dark out there, and you can't ever tell what it's like on the cameras. But it had to have been getting close. And your depth perception goes pretty quickly, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't know that he played it safe as much as he was just trying to give himself a chance. I mean, that was a tough pin to squeeze one into. No matter where you land, it's going to take a bounce.
Yeah, just a little pumped up.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That golf course looks like zero fun to play, by the way. Oh, I don't know how much you saw tonight.
That's all anybody's said that I've talked to. It's like, look at that golf course. God,
they're hitting wedges where they're landing at the hole, and they got 60 feet, or they roll into a hazard or a collection area.
I mean, how many doubles and triples and quads did you see? It looked like you just hit out of play. You're going to make a double. Or hit it out of the fairway, I should say.
It was interesting, though. I mean, there are a lot of storylines. It took forever.
Yeah, that's all that the Kohlhammer-Matthew Wolf match took 3 hours to play 12 holes. Now, they're playing twosomes in match play.
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't Matthew Wolf being slow.
Did you
see him walking off every hole?
No.
Oh, my God. I couldn't. I mean, the cameras, for some reason, were sticking with him. There was one hole where Kohlhammer had a putt that was like 8 inches, and Matthew Wolf was just walking to the next tee, and Kohlhammer was looking for him like, is this going to be good? So he went up and took his time and kind of joked on it and tapped it in.
Oh, really?
There was another hole where, like, there was a path through the woods to walk to the tee, and Kohlhammer had like a 5-footer to tie it, and Matthew Wolf's in the woods, like walking to the next tee with the camera. Can't even see the putt anymore.
Ooh, that's not good.
He did the same stuff at Eastlake. I sent a tweet out in the fall. I had to delete it because.
Right.
Yeah, remember that?
Yes. I do remember that.
Yeah, he's kind of known to do that. And I don't know if Spencer said that he did that or not. I can't comment on that. But he was just leaving the green every time.
It's not a good look.
I was watching with Dom for a while, and Dom was mentioning that he's like that guy better get used to realizing this is the last time he's gonna do that. Once he gets out there with us, that shit won't happen.
Yeah, somehow set him straight on that.
Yeah, you can't do it.
I tell you what, though, and I know you're gonna get a lot of detractors because yes, Oklahoma State was the best team this year. But they're not going to win the national championship. But this match, I mean, the golf the college golf going to match play, it has been great for the sport.
It's good for the sport. It brings a lot of attention to it. It's great for Golf Channel. I mean, you don't get the best team winning the NCAA basketball tournament every year. Kentucky could win 19, 20 of match or games in a row and lose second round in the NCAA tournament. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I know. I think it's awesome. It's fun to watch. I think the kids got to love playing it.
I think they do. It's got to be frustrating as hell, though.
For Oklahoma State?
Yeah, to know that they dominated. They had the winner. I mean, they had two guys in the top five, I think.
Well, then they shouldn't have had any problems beating Texas, who they beat all year.
Right. It's just,
I mean,
match play is not going to always determine the best team. I think there's been 1 year the number one seed won it. When did they switch to match play? 12 years ago? 15 years? Whatever year they switched to it, only 1 year has the number one seed won the match play. And that was last year on Oklahoma State's home course.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I think both things can be true, that they can be the best team. Oklahoma State can be the best team in the country, and the match play can be the best way to determine the champ, and it's great for college golf. I mean,
I think it's awesome.
There were people out there at Tuesday Night Golf that knew the golf was going on and were checking it. One person was texting that was watching it. I mean, in the past, you wouldn't have had that. If it was just a 4-day tournament and Oklahoma State won by 31 shots, nobody would have cared. Oklahoma State's one of the best teams ever.
Yeah.
Okay, nobody would have watched.
No, there's no drama coming on the stretch. There's nothing for TV.
I mean, I get it that the match plays for TV, but it's also so much fun to watch. I mean, I found myself the last couple of years because of Auburn being in it, watching the SEC golf match play.
Oh, 100%. It's been great.
Yeah, I mean, same thing. Auburn won the stroke play by 24 shots and lost in the finals to Arkansas. That's just part of it.
Yeah. I mean, how cool was SEC last year against Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Yeah. That was great. And it was fun to watch this year. I don't know. And then the Stanford-Vanderbilt match. I mean, we hadn't even talked about that. The kid makes a, 20-25 footer on the last hole to win for Stanford, mm-hmm. to win the match, mm-hmm. to win their match 3-2. So
Gator Todd was out on the TV, Scott Limbaugh.
That's right. I mean, you feel bad for those guys, but it's fun to watch. But also, the amazing thing to me is how well of a production Golf Channel does with that, and how much more enjoyable it is to watch that than a PGA Tour event. There are no FedEx Cup updates. There are no CEO interviews. There's no Konica Minolta, whatever, Swing Vision Biz Hub. I'm going to hurt your feelings here, but there's no BS interviews with Amanda Baliones where they don't ask anything that's...
Whoa. There were some...
People don't say anything BS. Relevant.
No, there were some BS interviews with Chantel McCabe.
Did they have the scorecard and they're like, hey, tell us about number 12 where you made up birdie?
I mean, she caught Jason Enloe at the most emotional time that could happen, and he's had a pretty...
That wasn't a BS interview. That was right after they'd won the playoff to get a match. It's not in the middle of Brooks Koepka hitting a shot on the 72nd hole of a major where CBS cut to Dustin Johnson who never says anything about you.
True.
I don't know. I just thought seeing the last few holes of that.
I love the coverage. And they got bounced around from shot to shot and knew where everybody was at. They had a lot of people out there.
The only thing we were watching a little bit of it last night, and they kept saying this was when they were in the stroke play portion of it, but they'd show somebody. They're like, here's so-and-so from Clemson, and he's a counting score. I'm like, look, if you're showing somebody their accounting score, you can get that out of the way.
What do they keep saying tonight? They're saying something you didn't see a lot of tonight, I don't think, but they're saying something, they'd hit a putt to like 3.5-4 feet. That's just outside the friend zone.
speaking of college golf, though, so Matthew Wolf wins individual, and then kid Stephen Fisk from Georgia Southern wins second. Those two golf swings couldn't be any more, I don't know what you'd even say, far from normal.
Polar opposites.
I mean, and those kids finished 1-2, and then you had a kid from Oklahoma. I can't think of his name.
Patrick Welch, cross-hander.
Yeah, he's cross-handed with two gloves.
He can dunk.
I mean, those are three of the top 10 individuals.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's funny, and that's where golf is kind of headed, which is good and bad. I think it's becoming, I mean, Matthew Wolf is hitting 7 irons from 227. I think it's becoming too much of a just hit it as far as you can sport, but
yeah,
I guess it is tough, what it is.
Tough to get away from that. We're not going to like that because we're short ball straight hitters.
Yeah, we only compete on 10 PGA Tour courses a year, not all of them.
I don't compete on any anymore. After watching Dom today, I've never been more discouraged about my own golf game in my life.
What'd Dom shoot?
67, but he didn't make a thing. It was cold and a little rainy in Monroe, playing the backs.
What was the temperature in Rochester today?
I think it was like, when we were on the course, I think it fluctuated between like 58 and 64.
God, it was 94 here today.
Yeah. It was not pool weather today. I think the pool is closed in Monroe.
I mean, if it's that temperature, it's going to be closed.
Yeah, it was cold. I wore pants and walked and was fine.
Why do you, another thing that I don't get, and I saw a little bit of it, why do people try to hate on push carts?
I don't know.
They were trying to get on these college kids, and I'm like, I just want to say, I mean, that's a great way to play golf. You're not going to hurt your back carrying, what, a 40-pound bag up and down hills and it bouncing around?
Yeah, and let's not forget these kids have played 2 practice rounds, 4 rounds of stroke play. They played this morning, and they're playing this afternoon.
And we think they should be lugging the bag around.
Yeah, the whole way.
I just saw a bunch of people, like Ryan Blom tweeted out something about can we all agree that the push cart should, if you use a push cart, that's an automatic loss of the first hole.
When's the last time he carried his bag?
Yeah. It's kind of like he's trying to say a push cart was an auto press, which
I'm gonna send him a tweet right now.
When we were growing up, and I don't know why it was, but push carting probably would have been an auto press.
Yeah, well, you had those old metal rinky-dink pull cart things.
Yeah,
you know?
Used to go into Chattahoochee and you could rent a handle for $2. It was a pull cart, not a push cart.
Yeah, I've used them back when it used to rain. Dang, I don't even follow Ryan Blom.
Doesn't everybody at Monroe use one?
He's only had 3 replies. Oh. Preach, Blaine Barber, preach.
Oh, come on, Blaine Barber. When's the last time he carried his bag?
When's the last time you carried your own bag?
Yeah, get him stirred up, JP. Do it from the AutoPress account.
Okay.
So that they'll know we're about it.
Nice. Did it. it's out there. Preach, Blaine Barber.
Oh, when's the last time you carried your own bag? There it is.
Hold on. One more thing I wanted to bring up. You were talking about people watching this week. You know where the NCAA did a great job?
Where?
Having the tournament end on Memorial Weekend. There was no sports yesterday, no sports today. I don't know how they figured it out, but like, it was a great opportunity to enjoy Memorial Day and tune in for primetime NCAA golf coverage, and then today the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, they nailed it with the date.
Yeah, I don't know if – I don't remember when it was last year.
Either.
I don't know.
I was playing golf yesterday, too, and I was like, man, there's nothing on TV later. And then my buddy was like, golf's on. I was like, oh, yeah. And it was awesome. I don't know if there's any more question that Matthew Wolf was the best college player in the country this year.
No, I'm pretty sure that's null and void. I know you were arguing with somebody about it, but
I still just don't understand why he was the number two guy behind Hovland in every single tournament.
Just where he was comfortable.
Yeah. What about not having Wolf in the anchor spot of the lineup tonight?
I mean, that's how they sent him out in the morning. So, you know, when Hovland and Wolf, I think they're just trying to say, we're going to win the first two matches and you got to win the last three. And then obviously Cole Hammer won. I mean, whipped him 4-3.
Rain on that parade.
Yeah, Cole Hammer and Garrett Barber couldn't defend the four ball this year. Which I saw.
Garrett Barber.
Yeah, and he went to. I mean, they rolled everybody last year at the four ball, but I saw that Garrett Barber kind of made the lineup some for LSU and kind of didn't, which was a little surprising to me. I know LSU is a good team, but I mean, that kid had an impressive junior career. You just never know what's going to happen. I mean, that's the same thing with. I was having lunch with somebody today, and they were asking me about Matthew Wolf and turning pro and all that. I was like, I mean, if I were him, I'd turn pro, but, man, nothing's guaranteed in golf.
Yeah, but he's got – I mean, he just won the NCAA. He's probably got six starts on tour now, right?
Yeah.
Like, he could turn pro tomorrow and be in the RBC Canadian Open next week.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to turn pro. There's nothing else left for him to do. As a team last year. He won individual this year.
Nobody can hate him for doing it. You don't come back in golf to try and win another team sport. I'm sorry. I hate to say it, but.
No. Not in golf. He won, what, six or seven times this year?
Yeah, I think six, including the NCAA. I mean, and they're not playing the same schedule. No offense to Stephen Fisk, who won probably five times. He's not playing the same schedule there. He's playing Cole Hammer. He's playing all these guys every week, you know?
Yeah, they're playing the cream of the crop tournaments for sure.
Yeah, best golf courses, best fields. So he's out. And he better be. If he's not, he's got a weird support group. And he could probably sign. I remember when Lee McCoy turned pro, he signed like $1 million deal with Callaway.
Well, I'm sure Matthew Wolf could about name his price.
Yeah, and he can get all these exemptions, which it's better for him to do it now than wait for the fall.
You know? Yeah, that's true, especially with them changing the schedule.
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes pro tomorrow and he's in the Canadian Open next week.
No, I mean.
You heard it here first.
That'd be a good place to start.
It wouldn't be the worst. It's a good golf course up there in Hamilton. I think Claxton's playing.
Woo.
Yep.
Well, we're running out of time here, but speaking of, we hadn't really talked about the Memorial at Jack's place.
Awesome tournament.
Who do you like this week?
Tiger's back.
Tiger is back. He's won here five times.
Hard to go against that. He's top five in the world now.
Ooh.
First time since like beginning of 2014, I think it was.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So he's playing this week. Justin Thomas.
He's back.
Oddly, he's okay.
Yeah, after his wrist injury. He hadn't played since the Masters, though.
I know that you like people that are trending.
Gary Woodland.
You like Gary Woodland, but what about, call me crazy here, but War Eagle Duffner has been having a few good weeks here, going to a place he's won.
Yeah, Duffner is playing better. He finished fourth at the Wells Fargo. Played okay last week at the Charles Schwab, at least through two rounds, and he missed go to the PGA, but I think he can throw out the PGA. That doesn't – he.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Him. Maybe you don't because – the Memorial is not short, and it's been raining down there. They had tornadoes in the Dayton, Ohio area
Yeah, big tornado.
And it keeps raining, so maybe maybe we just need a long ball hitter. I don't know.
I mean, I hate picking long ball hitters.
I think Tiger does it.
I think Tiger will have a very good week. I think somebody to keep an eye on that's somewhat under the radar. I don't know if you can call him under the radar. Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah, that's not under the radar. He finished second in the Masters.
Yeah, finished third, ninth.
Oh. He's John Peterson's inspiration to come back out of retirement.
Yeah, that's right, because John Peterson used to beat him. But he finished third, and then he's finished ninth, third, third. So
yeah,
I shouldn't say he's under the radar, but a lot of people aren't gonna, talk him up because he's boring and slow.
And Spieth keeps trending.
Yeah, all the Spieth hate. He's finished third at the PGA. Finished eighth last week.
I don't know. Second week in a row, I haven't done much research on the PGA Tour. I've been locked into other things. I should get back into it.
I hate it, but Kuchar's a good pick this week.
Kuchar's always a good pick. That guy's a top 15 machine.
His last four tournaments, 7th, 12th, 2nd, 8th, and he's won here before.
He's won them Royal?
Yes.
Hmm.
I mean, you've had some weird winners, though. You had DeChambeau last year. You had Hideki, you had David Lingmerth one year, Duffner, Kuchar. So, I mean, you talk about bombers, it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah. Is David Lingmerth still on the PGA Tour?
I don't know. That guy had he's played 6 events this year.
What about a Billy Horschel?
Yeah, he's been trending well too.
Yeah,
he's been playing well.
He's a ball striker. You got to be a ball striker there.
Yeah, 23rd and 19th of the last couple times out. Made 15 of 16 cuts. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's my backup pick to Tiger, Billy Horschel.
Billy Horschel.
I think he's in the right frame. Yeah.
Well,
what about you? Got any auto press moves of the week?
Go ahead with yours, and I'm trying to think if somebody had one tonight during TNG.
I saw two fans watching the PGA, and I posted them on the Instagram wearing matching like clown suit and knickers. Like James, I know the guy that I caddied for was wearing plus fours.
Well, at least he's playing in the tournament.
He's playing the tournament. That's kind of the thing that he did for a number of years when he won over $3 million in the Champions Tour. So I wouldn't auto press him for that. But to show up to a PGA Tour event wearing knickers blows my mind. people liked it. People were putting them on. Yeah.
But I think my move of the week, it goes back to last week, but just because I didn't use it, but it was, and he listened to it and called me out on it, but it was definitely Jimbo Floyd when he told us he shot 84 from the back tees at Pebble, or played it all the way back. And I on the podcast said he did not play it all the way back. And he listened to the podcast and he called me. He's like, what are you doing trying to call me out? And I said, well, you didn't play there's no way you played the back tees. He said, we played as far back as they'd let us. We played the back tees.
So, but did he play the U.S. Open tees?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No, they wouldn't let him.
So he's on, like, the white tees.
He played the back tees that they let him play.
Oh.
So my auto-press move of the week is claiming you played the back tees when you played only as far back as they'd let you.
That's like saying that you drove your car as fast as you could, but the speed limit was 65, so you were only driving it as fast as they would let you drive it. Like my car, my Honda Civic can probably go like 105, but they only let me go 65 on the highway, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he could have gone back there. He would have gotten in trouble.
Well, he may have thrown him off the golf course, but he could have.
So you see, I can drive my car as fast as I can. That, yeah, that's to be claiming that he's tipping it out. You're auto-pressed. Throw the hammer. keep sending us the auto-press in the wild. That stuff's fun.
Yeah, we love seeing the koozies everywhere.
Trent Brown breaking it out.
And if you hadn't already yet, subscribe, and because that's the easiest way to find out when new episodes pop up.
Oh, so I didn't understand the subscribe thing before, but I did it a few weeks ago, and then last week I realized whenever you post it, I get a notification on my phone that it's available.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you've just figured this out.
Yeah.
22 episodes in, you subscribe to your own podcast.
I've listened to every one of them. I boost the listener rating, but I had never subscribed.
And leave us a rating. Leave us a rating.
All right.
Well,
Tiger and Horschel, and you've got Woodland. And...
No. I'm not. I don't have Woodland. I have Cantlay and Kuchar.
Hmm.
I don't like my picks.
All right. We'll see you.
All right. See ya.
Get your ass in that hole.
Yeah.
Great putt, man. Ooh.